Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, a review of these scriptures in this book. This is a verse that stuck out to me, and just wanted to bring a message about it. And there's a lot in here in this one verse. And I pray that it'll be a help and encouragement to us all. If you're here without Christ as Savior, you need Him. Repent of your sins and believe the gospel. And trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of your soul. And we that are saved, may we rejoice in our Lord and praise Him and thank Him and learn more about Him and grow in the grace and knowledge of Him and be blessed of Him, even in this way, as this verse speaks to us. About this subject. In chapter 15, our brother's getting close to wrapping up the epistle to this church that he's never visited. He desires to go and visit with them. And it's kind of amazing. We know, or I think it amazing, it's a Gentile church for the most part. No doubt there's probably some Jews within her. But we would expect that this would be mostly a Gentile church. And he speaks to them much in this book of Romans about the position and standing of the Jews, about Abraham and all that. But yet he tells what a true Jew is and that about faith and circumcision of the heart and all those things. But he makes it clear that he's speaking to Gentiles, namely, in this book. This chapter starts off about the strong should be bearing the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Our example is Christ. He didn't look to please himself, but to please the Father. It goes on down here, saying in verse 4, these things were written for our learning. And so we need to know that about the Scriptures. We need to be like-minded in verse number 5 as our Lord, like-minded with our Lord. We need to be in unison, verse number 6, especially in His church. We need to be unified round about our Lord, His Word, His truth, and His glory and majesty. The Lord Jesus was a minister of the circumcision in verse 8 for the truth of God. But you know what? Verse number 9. That the Gentiles, part of that work and plan is that the Gentiles, that's us, non-Jews, might glorify God, glorify Him for His mercy. Things that are written where it was prophesied, it's true and come to pass. And he lists off three different verses there in 9, 10, and 11 about the Gentiles. He talks about Isaiah and what he wrote, again, a fourth verse about the Gentiles. And indeed, it's great to be a Gentile and trust in our Lord, isn't it? To rest in Him. Verse number 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your blessings in the past week. We thank you, Father, for your blessings in this week and this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege to be able to meet together and worship you. We thank you for the Sunday school classes, for the singing, for the praying and petitioning and seeking your face and thanking you and praising you and things. Thank you, Father, that you've touched us so and you've brought us here even together today to meet together to worship you. Help us, Lord, we would worship you in spirit and in truth and magnify and glorify your name. Help us, Lord, we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We might be that pillar and ground of the truth here in this place and region. And Lord, we'd hold up the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, His gospel and your word, Father. We pray for sinners that are here at hand or without Christ, even by their own testimony. Lord, they say they're not saved. We pray you might save them. Use us to be a good witness to them of good things in Christ. And Father, we pray that you'd move and you'd work. Help now, we pray. And Lord, help us to understand your word. We might be encouraged in you. And we thank you for the way you do encourage us. And Lord, fill us and help us and bless us. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. He He charges them in this, I believe. He hopes for them in this. It's kind of a thing that would be said toward the end of an epistle, and he's beginning to close out the epistle. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I find that that wording interesting. It's really heavy. There's a lot that's there in there. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the God of hope. When we talk about hope in the Scripture, we're not talking about, like, and you know how I've said it, lottery kind of hope. That's the hope of the world. Maybe it will happen. Maybe some good thing or something that good or thing that we desire that we think is good, maybe it won't happen. Maybe it will happen. That's the kind of hope that the world has, isn't it? But hope in our Lord is sure and steadfast, and it's based upon Him and what He said, what He can do, what He's promised, what He is working in His creation and amongst mankind and for that world to come. The God of hope, to anticipate with pleasure, usually this word hope is talking about. It's also in this English Bible, this English translation that we have, is translated as the word faith. The God of hope, the God of faith. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27, when the disciples ask about or they commented about how the Lord said that it was most difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, they said, who then can be saved? The Lord answered in Mark 10:27, Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible. Are you a man or of mankind? Are you a woman? You can't be saved of anything in and of yourself. In yourself, you have no hope. But I tell you, with the God of hope, Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but with God, but not with God. There's no impossibilities with God. For with God, all things are possible. You think the Lord really meant all? He said it, didn't he? And that's not talking about 99.9%, is it? It's talking about 100%. All things are possible with God. Now, the God of hope fill you. I find this word fill interesting. The definition of it that really stuck out to me was to cram. You got a vessel. Here in Strong's is talking about to cram a net. Remember how the Lord told them to cast their net there at the end of the book of, was the book of Luke, right? And He told them to cast their net, and they brought in a big old load of fishes that was just unreal that it could even fit in there. The God of hope, our apostle writes. Now, the God of hope fill you. I mean, chock you full. Fill you up. Fill you. Now, the God of hope fill you. The God that can do, our God that can do anything, that nothing is impossible with Him. Fill you. Not little dribs and drabs. But I'm talking about fill you up. He said to cram the net full, to make full, to supply. That word fill is interpreted in the English. In Malachi chapter 3, I invite you to turn over here. Let's take a look over here. And this this verse is used often and the subject of tithing, but I want us to get a principle out of this that's beyond just that of tithing. It says in Malachi 3, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And well, Abraham tithed before there even was a law, before there even was a nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. That's what I want us to get from this passage this morning. Is the Lord says, prove me now herewith. He says in regards to tithing, prove me. But you know what? There's more that we need to prove our Lord on and in. He is able to do all things. Nothing is impossible with Him. Now the God of all hope fill you. Prove him. Now prove me, now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Our Lord has more blessings than you and I can even bear up under. He's the God of hope. And the apostle desires for this church at Rome, and it comes to us here, even in our day, that we be filled. We be filled. The God of hope fill you. Tithing's not the only thing with which you and I should prove our Lord. The Lord honors obedience, doesn't he? He does. He honors obedience. He's given the command, and he honors that. Our Lord honors seeking, the seeking of his face. What's that mean? We don't use that often in our day. Now, that's not seeking the face of someone. We don't use that terminology. But when we seek his face, you know, understand our Lord is worshiped when you and I seek to know more about him. When we want to know more about our Lord. Do you want to know more about him? Are you content where you're at? Do you want to know more? You only got a lifetime to learn about him. And really, when it gets down to it, that lifetime's pretty short. Pretty short. Ask somebody up that's up in years and ask them how quick life has gone by. Our Lord honors the seeking of his face. He is worshipped when we seek to know more about him. He is worshipped by us when we seek his help in our difficulties and struggles. He is worshipped and he honors the seeking of his face when we seek his strength in our weakness. Lord, help me. I'm weak. I'm weak to bear this. I'm weak to do this. I'm weak in my body. I'm weak in my faith. I need help. He's honored and worshipped in that. He's worshipped and honors the seeking of his face when we repent of our faults, failures, and sins against him. Fill. To fill us. Prove him. He's able to fill us. He has it to fill us. And the apostle desires that for that church at Rome. And indeed, it is something that we at Olmsted Baptist Church need too. That is, the Lord blessed us. Indeed, he has. He's been good to us. Is that good enough? Is that enough? Is that the end of what our Lord will do? The God of all hope fill you. Our Lord is worshipped when we seek understanding of his leadership. He's promised us in his church he will lead. And he's honored when we seek understanding of his leadership and will in our decisions, not only in the church, but in our families and our individual lives. And remember, in Romans chapter 8, verse number 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, you heard it. You can read it in your Bible, verse 32. Does it not say all? It doesn't say some, doesn't it? It doesn't say most. But it says all. All. Now, the God of hope fill you. And the apostle is thinking about two things here, with the ultimate goal of the third. He says the God of hope, the God of that in whom nothing is impossible, fill you, chock you full, cram full the net, cram full your vessel with all joy. With all joy. We got a lot of unjoyful people in this world, don't we? I tell you what, if you just look at this world, you can get unjoyful. You sure can. But for the saints, for the child of God, we have all reason to have and be filled with calm delight in our Lord. That's another way of saying that word joy, calm delight. The things of the Lord, the songs that we sang this morning, do they, and Brother Stephen in his Sunday school lessons, does it bring joy to you to sing about the Lord? to meditate and think about Him and to know that He sent His Word to you as His child, and to know that He cares and He's working. You're not some little speck off somewhere that's just like just on the windshield of the Lord, if you will, over here, just some little nuisance. But the Lord loves you and cares about you and has sent His Son for you. And it is interested in every whit and every piece and part of your life. My life. Calm delight. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this was a revelation to me. I hadn't ever seen this before. Maybe I'm just catching up, okay? But look at this. Look at how this is packaged together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16. The apostle writes to this church at Thessalonica, there in Greece. He says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Now, that doesn't mean sometimes. Rejoice most of the time. Is that what it means? Is that what he's saying? Rejoice evermore. Now, this world can get our old man and our old body and flesh down indeed. But when we look to our Lord, have we any cause not to rejoice? Well, there is sometimes not to rejoice. But even in that, we do rejoice. In chastisement, it's hard to rejoice, isn't it? I never liked, my daddy's here now. I never liked getting a whipping from him. But you know what? I'm glad he did. And he did so because he loved me. It kept me from some things. And you know what? Even in chastisement, the Scripture tells us that we need to be glad that we've got a Heavenly Father that loves us, because we could be as those that are without a father. Amen? Rejoice evermore. You know what the next verse says? Pray without ceasing. Because you know what? In the things of life, it's going to be hard to rejoice in some things. And you know what? By prayer and seeking our Lord's face and help, we can rejoice. In the month of December, when Kate was going through the trial that she was going through, it was hard to rejoice in the physical aspect of that. But I praise God that when she was down, and when Clarissa and I were down, and at the end of strength, and at the end of understanding and help and hope, I praise God we had a God to go to that knew all about it. And He's a health expert in every way. And He's the expert of dealing with souls, and dealing with health, and dealing with the body, and He knew. But you know what? We'd have found it hard to rejoice without praying to our Lord. Isn't that something, how that's sandwiched in there? Sandwiched in there with what, Brother Jim? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks. It was hard to be thankful in December until word came that we understood what was going on. In difficult and hard things, it's hard to be thankful. But you know what? Prayer. Prayer to our Lord for help. He will help us to keep our focus on what's eternal and what's immortal and what's everlasting. And I keep our eyes focused upon Him. To rejoice evermore and to give thanks in everything, that we might be obedient to His will indeed require us to seek His face, and we need help to do so. This old man will want nothing of it, will he? This old man will just want to throw up his hands. And as we say, when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. That's what the old man wants to do. But you know what? We can have joy in our Lord. It's not based on the circumstance of this life, but it's based on Him. And it's focused upon Him. Knowing He knows. He can help. He can deliver. Knowing that by Him and through Him, there's not one thing that's impossible. Not one thing. In John 9, verse 3, Jesus answered about the blind man, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Remember what the disciples asked? Who sinned, this man or his parents? The Lord said, neither one of them has. Oh? Really? Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. But you know what? This has come about. This man is blind that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Are you and I ready for the works of God to be made manifest in us? It might hurt our skin. But may we have joy in our Lord, knowing that our Lord's working in us, with us, and even using us to be a help and a minister unto others. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy. The apostle doesn't want it to be limited. He doesn't say some, does he? He said, I want you to be filled with all joy. All the joy that our Lord has. All the joy. And you know what? We'll only have that joy with our hearts and minds and beings focused upon Him and walking with Him. He also says, I desire that the God of hope fill you not only with all joy, but if you will, all peace. 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 The world's looking. The people of the world are looking for peace. Stableness. Sameness. No alarm. No turmoil. No strife. Looking for peace. You know what? This world doesn't have any peace. This world, by its very nature, will not yield peace. Any peace that this world offers is a false peace, isn't it? It can't be everlasting. Any peace that this world and this world system and the way of man has to offer will not last to eternity. But you know what? Let's take a look over here at what our Lord says. In John 14, as He deals with His church here before His crucifixion, the night before His crucifixion, He says this to them and to us. In John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. How did the Lord leave peace with them? Look at the verse before. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You know how you and I can have peace? You know how you and I can be filled with the all peace, with all peace from our Lord? And so listen to what He says. Hear what He says. You know how our Lord was dealing with His disciples before He went to His crucifixion? He kept telling them, over and over and over again, what was going to happen. I'm going to be, what is it He said? He's going to be convicted, essentially, of the elders, betrayed over into the hand of the Gentiles, crucified, and killed. But in a paraphrase, He says, don't worry about it. Even though I'm dead, I'm still in control. 3 days and three nights later, remember Jonah? I'll be back. He told them in advance. He says, my peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. I asked Sister Duke Jr. last night in considering about this part of the message, how is it that the Lord gives? How the world gives. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. There's a way that the world gives peace. And I think it's those things that I mentioned earlier. The world promises peace. The way of man, mankind, the world system promises peace and offers peace in many, many different ways, supposedly, but it never lasts. The world offers a false peace. How does the world give? Making promises that can't be fulfilled. Giving a hope and great abundance of money and the wealth of the world. But it goes away. It cankers and it rusts and it goes away. And granted, we need money to be able to live and to get along. But you know what? As soon as it comes, it can go away. How is it that the world gives? My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, He says. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. How does the world give? False hope. Without consideration of eternity. The world gives without any consideration of eternity. The world gives for repayment with debt. Everything we have in Christ is free. And boy, how can you compare what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ with anything in this world? How does it even compare? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He says, let not your heart be troubled, because it may be, but don't let it be troubled. Peace. Neither let it be afraid. You might be afraid, but don't be, because I give you my peace. How do we have peace? We look to our Lord, don't we? We walk with our Lord. The verse in Romans that we're considering, verse number 13 of chapter 15. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy, and if you will, all peace in believing. Faith is the victory. Faith is that thing, that faith given by God, possessed by men. But you know what? This word is not that word faith. It comes from that word faith. But you know what? This word believing is talking about faith in practice. It's talking about faith on the move. Like charity is love with legs on it. Believing is faith with legs on it. Joy, all joy. Be filled by our Lord with all joy and all peace, if you will, as you believe. As you keep believing in your Lord, as you keep looking to Him and trusting in Him and resting in Him, in believing, and not just having faith, but going forward on that faith, not happiness, if you will, that's related to the things and circumstances of this world and this flesh, but joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? That's what the Scripture says. Be filled with, fill you with all joy and all peace in believing. And he said, here's the goal. There's a goal in this. I desire for you to be that God, the God of hope, in whom nothing is impossible. Fill you with all joy in Him, all peace from Him, as you believe and continue on in Him, here's the goal, that you may abound. Abound. It's kind of connected to that word fill, for the net to be crammed full. That you may abound, that we might be caused to superabound or excel. I mean, to really be filled. To really rest in our Lord. That ye may abound. That ye may abound. What was it that the psalmist David, Brother Stevens, spent some time on the Psalms and what they are and the songs that they are and that. And our brother David was using the Lord to write nearly half of them. You remember how he says in Psalm 23, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. They want to kill me. They want to that's what enemies want to do. They want to compromise and destroy, don't they? And the Lord sets up a table right there in the presence of David's enemies, he says. The Lord cares for me right there in all that turmoil and mayhem that's going on in the world. But David's got joy and peace and rest and help and hope in his Lord. What's it go on to say? You know it. Thou anointest my head with oil. He cares for him. He takes care of him. My cup runneth over. Not again, not dribs and drabs. Not a few drops down in the bottom, but my cup runs over. Sounds like abounding, doesn't it? Sounds like Brother David, when he looks around, he looks at Saul, what he wants to do him, and the confusion of all that. He considers his Saul's son, Jonathan, who is his dear friend, and the love and care that they have for one another, and the fellowship that they have one another, and why is it that Saul wants to kill him and do him in? When he looks at all that, he's troubled. But when he looks to his Lord, he's got hope, doesn't he? He's got joy. And even in the midst of distress can have peace. The apostle writes, "Now the God of all hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and all peace in believing that you may abound in hope." Same word. I hope that'll happen. It's not the way that we have been brought up in it and the way the world talks about hope. But knowing that our deliverance and our help and our strength, our direction, our instruction, our encouragement, our forgiveness, our immortality, our life to come and our life now is all bound up and wrapped up in our Lord. It's all in Him. May abound in hope. The God of hope. That we might know that He is the God of hope. Not that we just know about it, but that we would know it experientially. Our brother has written, and we've talked about it here, he mentions in chapter 5, Romans chapter 5. Let's read this real quick here and the great blessing we have in being justified by our Lord. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore being justified by faith in our Lord Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." There's that word peace again. This is speaking about salvation. "By whom we also have access by faith into this grace," this favor, "by faith, wherein we stand." We stand in this faith, in this favor, this grace, "and rejoice in hope of the glory of God," to be there a part of the glory of God, to be brought to Him. Wow. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." Those happen in the flesh, not in the spirit. "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope." We got some experience with our Lord. He's delivered after this sort before. He's delivered after some other sort. I've seen Him do it. And in this great extreme thing that I've never faced before, He can do it now too. I know how He is. Experience. "And hope maketh not ashamed. Even though tempted, we would go back and say, oh, what will we do? How can we make it? How can this be worked out? How can this be accomplished?" Yet you plug in any scenario, we won't be a disgrace or confounded or caused to blush. But because we're filled by the God of hope, we'll have hope in Him. He can do it. He can do it. He can help us. He can deliver us. Hope. You may abound, you may superabound, you may excel, your cup might be running over in hope in our Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the charity chapter, the love with legs on it chapter, remember what it says at the end. In verse number 13, the apostle writes to that church at Corinth, our Lord speaking to us, "Now abideth faith." We talked about that. Hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And that's true. Love with legs on it. But you know what's in there? Faith and hope's right up there close. Don't forget about faith and hope. Faith is not some object in and of itself, but it's always faith. Scriptural-based faith is always faith-based in our Lord. And the hope of the Scripture is hope in our Lord. Now the God of all hope, now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and all peace in believing in Him, that you may abound in hope. Remember, the Scripture says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do most things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Isn't that what it says? It says all, doesn't it? Again, all. The Lord uses the word all. Abound in, that you may abound in hope. How? Through. Through the instrumentality, the working of the Holy Spirit of God. We don't have it within this flesh to do this. We're talking about spiritual things. We're talking about supernatural things. We're talking about just because they're spiritual and just because they're supernatural doesn't mean they're a long way off. They're as close as our Lord is. They're as close as our Lord is. Doesn't He live within? Isn't that the definition of salvation? Christ in me, a hope of glory. Isn't the definition of salvation that the Lord's given us the earnest of His Spirit that lives within? Through the power. Remember, this is not talking about all the nuclear weapons that man has and all the kilowatts and megawatts of energy that man has produced and is producing and will produce. But this power is talking about the miraculous power of God. Miracles. Yes, our Lord still works miracles. You know how that's known? He deals with you and me. He deals with us. He saves sinners and makes them His own. And He gives them strength to serve Him and worship Him and follow Him. And He teaches them and we learn and we grow His miraculous power. He might abound in hope through the power, not the power and will of man, but through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, Jesus said there in the Great Commission that we love and we hold to at Olmsted Baptist Church. It's our directive. It's our marching orders. The Lord said unto them in Matthew 28, verse 18, listen, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Now that word power here is different than the word power that we have in our text. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. This power of that spoke about here that we might abound by through the power of the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Spirit, it's talking about the horsepower, the energy, the miraculous working. That power that's mentioned there in Matthew 28 is talking about also authority. See, understand that our Lord's promises, directive, word, commandment, and working towards us is He can do it, and He's authorized to do it. He's the end all. Now see, Satan goes around and he tells a lie, and he has no authority to tell his wickedness and his lies, and he has no authority to pursue. He's been given a realm indeed, but everything he does and what he works is wicked and against God. But Jesus, He's got the power to do it, and He's got the authority. He's the end all of the Word of God. We can rest in Him and we can trust in Him indeed in every way. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing. As you believe in Him and trust in Him and rest in Him, that you may abound in hope. That's the end goal, that you abound, that you be full, that your cup be running over with hope, the hope of the Lord. Not a maybe kind of hope or a hope-so kind of hope, but a know that the Lord is working and will make good on His promises through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Luke chapter 11, verse number 13. You know, I'm amazed here recently how the Lord is just, as I look into His Word and try to determine and understand what he'd have me to bring and preach so much this aspect here of prayer comes back, how we need to be communicating with our Lord. We speak about the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. You're at Luke 11. We'll come there. Listen. The apostle writes in Romans 15, 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, I'll read it to you. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." If we're told to be, we can be. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking, here's some understanding about how to do so. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sorry, Brother Stephen. I had to bring it out. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We worship Him, don't we? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God of all hope, and by doing so, we can have some peace and all joy, can't we? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 13, our Lord says, remember in Romans, that you may abound in hope, that the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing in Him, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, 13, "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" You want to be filled? I understand with salvation, the Spirit of God's living within. But you know what? We can avail ourselves of the leadership of the Spirit, or we can deny it and go against it and buck and thwart and kick and stomp and snort and go one direction and get drug all the way back to Nineveh. Amen? We got it before us to do. If we start looking at self and trusting in self and trusting in this world and trusting in men and trusting in the way of the world and all that, we can have double trouble, can't we? But you know what? Let's ask our Lord to fill us. Let's go to our Lord that we might be filled with His Spirit. And I'll tell you what, I believe indeed that we will be filled with joy, and we will be filled with peace, and we will have experience with our Lord as we deal with the difficulties and trials and blessings of life. That He will fill us. Doesn't it say, doesn't James tell us, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you? That's talking to children. "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your joy. Fill me with your peace. In conclusion, our text says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope, that you might be experienced in hope and looking to the Lord through the power of the Holy Ghost." Believing. Believing is our faith exercised. Faith doesn't grow unless it gets exercised and challenged. It's just that way. Peter talks to us about that. And in 1 John 3, a couple passages here. 1 John chapter 3. Listen to what Brother John writes in verse number 23. "And this is His," that is Jesus, "commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ." That's the Father's commandment. "And love one another as He gave us commandment." That's what the Father's command. Believe in His Son. "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." As Jesus did, as the Father has done so. Do you believe on His name? If you're saved, you do. Look at what He writes over here in 1 John chapter 5. The apostle writes, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Are you saved? If you're saved, you believe on His name. What's He say here? "That ye may know that you have eternal life." Praise God for that. Amen? We're taught that, and we know that by the Word. "And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Wait a minute, Brother Jim. I already do. You need to keep on. You need to keep on. Isn't that what this passage in Romans, our brother, just another way of saying it somewhat, and other things there. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation indeed is the beginning of a life of believing and having faith in our Lord. Trusting in Him, walking with Him, looking to Him, hoping and resting in Him, knowing His promises, and praying unto Him for the help that we need to bring unto Him the thanksgiving that He's due when He does help us, and for His greatness, thanksgiving for just who He is, that He is great as He is, He's revealed Himself to us. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." That's my desire for every member of Olmsted Baptist Church. And we can do so, and will do so, if we follow what our Lord's given us in His Word. Tell you what, it's a lot better to be filled with joy and peace, isn't it, than unhappiness, unthankfulness, and strife. Which is better? Some people like strife. Isn't that odd? Some people just like turmoil. That's strange, isn't it? May we be filled with all joy and all peace and believing in our Lord. May we be filled with experience of hope through the power of the Spirit of God.